Reverend John Thomas talks about a week he spent at a Benedictine monastery, which sounds, that's something I love to do. And he said that each day there would be, when they came to the Eucharist, the communion service, they would form a line and people would come forward, kind of like what we do when we have in tincture and so forth. He said there was an elderly couple there that day, or that week, and the guy, the older man, was prone to wear T-shirts that had messages on the back. And a couple of times that week, he ended up right behind that elderly man as he moved forward toward communion. He said one day, the back of this guy's T-shirt said, "I can only be nice to one person a day, and today is not your day. Tomorrow doesn't look too good either." And, you know, if you see that out on the street, that's one thing. But John Thomas said it really struck him as he moved forward in communion. He thought, is that a message that you want to convey as you're moving toward the feast, the banquet? Is that really what, if that was his attitude, if that truly was that man's attitude, that sense of, I don't want anything to do with you kind of thing, is that what you want to be wearing as you move toward the table? The table that is the supreme act, the supreme conveyor of the message of hospitality and inclusiveness and sacrifice. Is that the message that you want to be wearing as you move forward toward that? And then he said there was one other day that he ended up behind that older guy, and on the back of his T-shirt that day as they moved toward the Eucharist was, "What don't you understand about the word no? What don't you understand about the word no?" And he thought, John Thomas thought, we are moving forward to receive the message of the one who is the supreme yes to all of life and all of love and all of God's goodness. And this guy is wearing a garment that says no, no. And Thomas said, you know, he found it very disquieting to stand behind this guy with these various garments, and what these garments were saying about his attitude as he moved toward the experience of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you to hold that story for just a few minutes, and we're going to come back to it, but now it's time to read the scripture lesson. So if you'll take your red pew Bibles, turn to page 1006, and we're reading in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Matthew chapter 22 at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calves have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friends,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" May God continue to bless to us this reading from His holy word. This morning, I want to focus, in that text, I want to focus on the second group of invitees, the ones that were invited that were out on the street, as it were. Perhaps the phrase, anyone you can find, could draw our attention. He sends the servants out and he says, in effect, everyone is invited to the feast. Everyone is invited to the banquet. And that means some people are going to be good and some people are going to be bad. And I mean, it's right there in the text. Some good and some bad came. And that surely meant that there would be some people who were well off and some who were poor. Any group of general population, I'm sure, included both the wealthy and the impoverished. Last weekend, I worked a women's Emmaus walk down in Clay City. And the Clay City campground is owned by a denomination called Free Methodists. Free Methodists. And until the first time I visited that campground, I'd never even heard of the Free Methodist. But they're... back in the 1860s, there was an emerging trend among Protestant churches, not just Methodists, but Congregational Presbyterians and so forth, to rent pew space. So that if you occupy the same pew every week, you probably would have paid for it. You know, you would have either paid a flat fee or you'd pay rental or whatever. And there was a lot of Protestants who began to say, that doesn't seem proper that we charge for somebody to come to church and to participate. And among those was a group that formed the Free Methodist Church. And the free, in part, the free refers to the idea, we don't charge to get in here. We don't charge to be included in the worship of God. And that really comes to my mind as the in terms of the inclusiveness of this invitation. These people were apparently not charged to come to this banquet. All were invited freely. And it seems to me that any time the people of God come to the banquet of the Lord's Supper, it should be a free time. And all should be included. And all should be included. Now, if you did a study of the commentaries on this text, most commentators say that if such an event took place, it is highly likely that the host, or in this case the king, would provide the necessary garments. The king would make available the necessary wedding clothes so that people would have access to them. You couldn't draft a group of people off the streets and expect them all to own the necessary clothes. Or to be able to afford the necessary clothes. So those clothes would be provided. And in the Bible story, all the king wants is for the guests to put on the attire that he's provided. That's all he wants. I'm going to give you the clothes. Just put them on. Just put them on. Now, by now, you've probably realized I'm drawing a parallel between that banquet and this banquet, between that feast and this feast. And God has provided the things that we need to put on. Mercy, tenderness, a spirit of sacrifice, forgiveness, compassion, hospitality. We don't have to make those garments up. They're provided. And the king says, come to the feast. Just put on what I give you. Now, in verses 11 to 13 in the text, we read about the guy who refused to put on what God had provided. Remember? And if the commentaries are right, he had access to what he needed, but he refused to put it on. And God judged him because he refused to put on those garments. I want to return to the opening story with which I began this homily today, about the monastery and the guy that was wearing those t-shirts as everybody came forward to the Lord's table. If his attire was truly portraying his attitudes, then I think Reverend Thomas is really right on the money. What a sad state of mind to have in your mind and your heart when you come forward to the Lord's table. So I'm going to ask you a question, and this is the heart of this little sermon. What attire do you wear today when you come to the feast? If your clothing, whatever you're wearing right now, somehow was morphed and showed your attitudes in written words, where you are and what you have in your heart and your mind right now, what would the people behind you be reading right now? If you leaned forward, what would people read about your attitudes? And of course, the question is, are you properly attired? Are you dressed in the right attitudes? Many generations ago, in Presbyterian and Congregational churches, before one went to communion, you were to have an interview with the pastor, back to colonial days and following. And you interviewed with the pastor, and the idea was to determine whether you were in the right spiritual frame of mind to come to communion. And the only people that took communion in those days were these people that got these little communion tokens that were presented by the pastor after the interview and so forth. Well, I am not arguing to return to those days, believe me. I'm not. But the one thing that it did do, was to identify places where a person needed to work on their spiritual life. That's one thing that it did offer. For people to say, maybe there's a glaring place where I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. And to use this morning's metaphor, maybe sometimes those persons needed to put on different clothes. Speaking metaphorically, maybe they needed to change what they were wearing as they came to the table. Last weekend, out on the walk, Bill Coker shared a story, and it's possible that a few of you in this room have heard him tell this story. He talks about a time early in his ministry when he was going out with a fellow pastor. He was almost in training, and they went to visit an older couple. And they, when they got there, the wife in the couple went out to the kitchen to prepare some beverages, and Bill went out with her. And she said to Bill, if there is anything you all can do, to help my husband come to Christ, it would mean the world to me. And so after they'd gathered the beverages and they went back in the room, here was the wife, the husband, and these two pastors. And Bill said to the pastor, where are you in terms of your faith? And he said, and Bill said he'll never forget this, he said there was literally smoke coming out of this guy's ears and his eyes. He said, my sister cheated me in business 25 years ago, and I will never forgive her. My sister cheated me in business 25 years ago, and I will never forgive her. And because he knew that Christians were expected to forgive, he had rejected Christ. And Bill said, and this is another thing Bill said he'll never forget about that day. He said that wife got out of her chair and she went over to her husband and she knelt by his chair and begged him to forgive and to make his way to Christ. And he would not do so. He would rather continue to wear the garment of unforgiveness and to face eternity without Christ than to change his garments to be properly attired. So, the King has invited you to a banquet this morning. Are the garments of your mind and your spirit what they need to be? Are you dressed properly within yourself? Maybe you can't change huge things in the next 3 minutes before we get to the table. I realize you can only do so much in 3 minutes. But maybe you can't change it, but maybe you could make a deal with God to work on it. Maybe you could make a contract with God that I'm going to address that issue in my life. But I'll simply close with this thought. May God bless each one of us as we seek to come with appropriate attire to this sacred meal. He's a merciful God. He loves you. He's the God that ran out to meet the prodigal son. And He invites you to this meal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.